I'm talking to Harold Kinney of the Bookie in East Hartford, and Hal's going to tell me how he got ownership of this store and from whom.
I bought the store in 1969 from a fellow named Bill Rollins, who handled literally only used books. And we were selling magazines, used books, stuff like that. Literally no comics. Then Dan Valenza came in. He kind of got me interested in comics. Put me in line with what comic collectors were thinking about, what they were looking for. And I started to go out of my way to look for this stuff to keep the comic collectors happy. And of course, I mentioned this before, it started out naturally as a commercial venture. But when I found out what nice people comic collectors were, it got to be more of a hobby than money-making bit.
First the store was on Broad Street, then you moved from Broad Street to New Park. Why?
I don't know if I should put this in the tape. The store on Broad Street was in a neighborhood that was dominated by small children, and they used to drive me crazy. Come running in and out. They were very undisciplined kids. The kind that said, if you don't let me in, I'll break your windows tonight. Of course, you know why I moved over here, because the roof leaked like a sieve over in New right. Park. Even in that, with this gas thing, I'm much closer to home here, so that's better too.
And Jeff Rudolph, too, came in?
Well, I'd say the three people that got me going were Armstrong and Jeff Rudolph and Dan. So those are the first three collectors that I met. Surprisingly, they had nothing to do with the financial success, because all three were comic collecting for literally years, so there was literally nothing that I could sell them that they needed. The three of them together, although they didn't benefit from it, they were the ones who bought comics to everybody else from out here, because they were unselfish enough to want to share their hobby and their love of comics with everybody else.
When was your first convention?
70.
You said you had some problems there with the tables.
Oh, that was a beaut. I was ill-prepared for
that
the convention.
That was Silly's con, right?
Oh, yeah. That was the only con then.
Was it? In New York?
Well, I wasn't going out to San Francisco, that's for sure. Jeff Rudolph had bought a table for the con. He was selling some of his own collection, some comics for a dealer in California. Since he didn't have a tremendously big stock, he said, want to split the table? I'll go down for the day, see what it's like. And I just managed to pick up 20 or 30 Golden Age comics that I had no market for at all in Hartford. So it was kind of curiosity to see what conventions were like, and another was the desire to get rid of those comics, which I really didn't need here, and spread them among comic fans who could use them. But we get down to New York early in the morning, and Dan came with us, and he had a small group of comics to sell. So the table is, what, 6 feet wide? You can put, I think, 8 or 10 lines of comics. So Jeff had one half of the table, and I had the other half. And then we let Dan go in the middle of it, right? And we got the table all set up. And a dealer from California came that Jeff was selling the comics for, and he wanted part of the table too. So we had 4 dealers on one lousy table, and we were crawling all over each other all day.
What about your radio with William Shatner? What's the story behind that?
It came about at one of the conventions. I was interviewed by a reporter, and he wrote a story which was picked up by the wire services. It went papers scattered all over the country. I know it came out in Miami and Des Moines, Iowa, Los Angeles. I got a call from a radio station in Los Angeles asking me for a radio interview. And he made an appointment for a Saturday afternoon, I believe it was 2 or 3 days hence. And that was all it was to it. I didn't know anything about it. I was just going to be interviewed over the radio and being asked questions about comics. So didn't think nothing of it. Saturday afternoon, I got the call right on time. A fellow whom I'd been talking to said, Mr. Kinney, you ready to go ahead with your radio interview? I says, sure, shoot. He says, well, at the sound of the chime, you'll be on the air. He says, the interviewer is going to be Bill Shatner, and the other guest is Ray Bradbury. Ding! You know, there was literally nothing you could do there. You had to push right through, you know. It was like Moses when he come to the Red Sea. There was nowhere else to go, you know. If he had told me that Bill Shatner was going to interview me a couple of days before, I think I would have psyched myself out, and I would have gone on the radio and said, But as it was, I think it came out pretty good. I tried to get a tape recording, but they never sent one.
But Shatner put you down or something? What do you want to read comics for?
Oh, Shatner put every comic fan down. He couldn't understand, and a lot of people can't, what people see in comics. A Ray Bradbury, on the other hand, had collected comics and newspaper strips since he was a small boy. He was especially a Prince Valiant fan, if I remember correctly. In fact, he had a whole run of Prince Valiant pages from the beginning on.
Buck Rogers, too.
Yeah, well, I don't know if that was brought up or not. Shatner couldn't get it into his head the reason for comic fandom, and one of the questions he asked was, what is the aesthetic value of collecting comics? And, you know, what can you say to that? Well, he pinned me to the wall with this question. What is the aesthetic value? Come on, Mr. Kenny, you know how intense he is. I answered in a word saying that I had heard from another collector, Jeff Rudolph, for that matter, that comic collecting is making a hobby out of your own childhood. And Shatner kind of cooled him off, and he said, well said. That was about the end of the interview, I guess.
Shatner said, well said?
Yeah.
Okay. Good enough.
Thank God.